Welcome to Extreme Prophetic. My name's Patricia King, and I'm so glad that you've joined us for today. I have a special guest with me, Fatine Crisco. She's actually one of my spiritual daughters, and she's a reformer and an apostolic woman representing the younger generation. Fatine, it is so exciting to have you, and we're featuring on the program today your new book, Marked. And so we're going to hear a little bit about the message, because it's about the emerging generation of dread champions, of which you are one.
And I actually learned that term from yourself and from James Gall. I found out after also used that term, Bob Jones. But it speaks of a generation rising in a spirit of might, revival, and fearlessness for their God to shift nations.
So. Well, that's who you are. You're a fearless woman of God. And you've actually been inspired by the Lord to lead government reforms, political reforms, where there's been situations where injustices have been established in the land, and then you rise up in love, in wisdom, in righteousness, and truth, and challenge the injustice, and God has given you favor and a whole troop that you take with you representing the younger generation that has actually brought reform to a nation.
Yeah, it's
well, I'm
exciting.
So proud of you.
I'm
so proud of you.
Thanks.
And but anyways, you were sharing with me about the miracle, the actual sign that God gave you. You know, God speaks in different ways. He doesn't always speak English, right? He doesn't always speak to us in words or thoughts. Sometimes he speaks in actions or signs and wonders. And you had a phenomenal encounter with God. So tell us about that, Fatine.
Yeah, it was so encouraging. I was getting ready for a trip to go to Israel, one of my favorite places in the world to go to. And I was packing my bags, and I was pulling some of the books off of our resource bookshelf. And now you need to understand that the books hadn't been anywhere but the printer and then
right,
in the ship.
They just come in. It was brand new.
Yeah, yeah. And we had the only thing we had done was put them up on the shelves. And as I was pulling the books off the shelf, I noticed that there was something sticking out of one of the books. And, you know, the presence of God immediately just came in sort of a hush over me, and I knew that God was about to speak. And so I looked closely at the book, and sticking out of the book was money, actually. And it wasn't Canadian money, even though I'm Canadian. It was Israeli money. And I knew that this was a sign.
Okay, let's just backtrack a bit.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got these brand new books have just come from the printer. So, they're on your resource shelf.
Yep.
You start pulling them out because you're going to take them on the trip with you.
Yep.
And in one of the books
is sticking out a fresh and a fresh, crisp $20 shekel bill. Now, I knew nobody else in my house.
And the shekel is the currency of Israel.
Of Israel, right. And I knew nobody else in my house had Israeli money. I was the only one that had Israeli
money. You weren't
money.
In Israel. You were in Canada.
I was in Canada.
It wasn't American money. It wasn't Canadian money. It was
Israeli
money.
And I immediately began to try to rationalize it and think about, okay, well, maybe somebody from the printer slipped it in here as a little encouragement or something. But I realized that the bill wasn't bent. And so if somebody from the printer would have slipped it in, it would have at least been bent, because even the top book would have been bent, right?
Amazing.
It would have
because it was sticking up out of the book.
Yeah, because it was right in the middle of the book. And so it was sticking straight out, and it was absolutely just flawless. Crisp, absolutely.
Wow.
And so as I'm staring at this in wonder, trying to figure out what this is all about, the Lord speaks to me. He says, well, aren't you going to look at what I bookmarked? And I thought, well, yeah, of course.
And what I think is so cool, this is a book, and it's called Marked.
It's called Marked, yeah.
And the Lord said to you, aren't you going to check what I bookmarked.
What I bookmarked.
Love that.
I know. And I didn't even think of that until you said it. But I opened it up, and it was page 113. I believe it was 113, 114. And on one side of the page, it talks about, it actually says the title, A Generation Marked, which is a title. So that was really encouraging. I was like, yay, Jesus likes the book. You know what I mean? A Generation Marked. But then on the other side of that page, it talks about the revealing of the sons of God. The revealing of a mature generation, and the fear of the Lord hit me. And I immediately knew that, number one, this was the message that I, or one of the messages I was to carry in the next season, but that we are entering into a season where the very thing that creation has been groaning for, the revealing of those in the body of Christ that know who their Father is, and out of that place of intimacy and revelation of who we are in the family of God, function in an authority that literally shifts nations and causes creation to be liberated. You know, and we saw this in the transformation videos, that when righteousness is established in a nation, and it, all of creation is even affected, right? And so the Lord began to speak to me about that, and I believe that we're entering into a time where we are going to see more signs and wonders, more of an understanding of even what that scripture is, and a revealing of a truly mature breed
Amen.
Of men and women in the earth that will see nations shifted and revival ushered in
wow.
our time.
Amen. I've recently written a book called The Bride Makes Herself Ready. Mm-hmm. And it's about the preparation of the body as a bride to meet the bridegroom. And you know, he is expecting to come back for a people who are completely set apart for him, that are righteous in their ways as he is righteous, but that are also moving in heaven's power, heaven's dominion, just like Jesus did.
Absolutely.
And so this is actually what your book is about. It's a generation who's marked to follow God in righteousness and truth and glory and to take the authority that we've been given from heaven
yeah.
and execute it in the earth.
Absolutely.
And I'm so impressed with the way that you've actually done so much of that. You don't just talk about it or write about it. You actually do it.
We've
and you
it.
See results.
Yeah, it's exciting. And it's exciting in a childlike way to see what God can do when we truly just begin to step out, because we have seen laws reformed in Canada. We've seen the age of sexual consent raised. We've seen human trafficking legislation advanced. But you talked about the bride making herself ready, and I had a dream a couple years ago about exactly that, and it was about Revelation 19, where it talks about how the bride has made herself ready,
mm-hmm.
and she is clothed in white garments, which are the righteous acts of the saints.
Mm-hmm.
And Revelation hit me through that dream encounter, and as I meditated on Revelation 19, that it doesn't say that the bride has made herself ready through the fruit of the Spirit.
Right.
It doesn't say that the bride has made herself ready through unity. It doesn't say that the bride has made herself ready through big ministries or programs. It says that she's made herself ready through the righteous acts. Now, the truth is that all those things I just mentioned, for the most part, you know, the mm-hmm. fruit of the Spirit is a righteous act. Unity is a righteous act. But the penny dropped for me that the very work of preparing the bride for Jesus is in that is contained this whole revelation of doing righteous acts. And the truth is that if we love him,
right.
if we love him, we will love what he loves, we'll hate what he hates,
exactly.
and we'll do what he does.
Exactly.
And that is the mature bride.
And it's so neat. We get to do what he does, right?
Mm-hmm.
We get to do the works of Jesus. He said, the works that I do, you will do also, and greater works than these shall you do. And he confronted injustice, he confronted unrighteousness, he confronted sickness, disease, oppression of every kind with the power and might of Almighty God. And he executed that power to bring alignment to God's ways. And we get to do that in this hour.
Yeah.
Faithine, we're going to take a break right now and we'll be right back because I want to hear what you have to say about this emerging generation. What does it look like? And how do we align ourselves to be part of that? How do we come into a place where we can be those manifest sons of God that the creation is groaning for and yearning for? So we'll be right back.
Are you called to media? XP Media's training team is available to teach you every phase of media production, from script writing to acting, editing, producing, and directing. For more information, visit xpmediatraining.com.
What is the XP Web Church?
XP Web Church is an official congregation that connects through the internet.
Each Web Church member is assigned a web pastor, and they connect through email, telephone, and our online chat room.
Weekly personal contact, teaching, relational presentations.
Exclusive web clips and MP3s are all available to web members.
Patricia King, the XP team, youth and children's pastors, and friends of the ministry all contribute to make XP Web Church a rich spiritual experience.
XP Web Church also hosts an online chat room and social network for web members only. XP Web Church is international, 24/7, on demand. We're always here, no matter where you are in the world.
Quality personal and relational pastoral care, prayer covering, as well as solid teaching on kingdom values, Bible foundations, the Holy Spirit, the glory, and the supernatural.
Join today at xpwebchurch.com.
XP Web Church, filling the earth with His glory.
Well, welcome back. We're having an exciting discussion about the preparation of the bride for the king, the preparation of the body to operate in the fullness of all that God has for us so that we can infiltrate the earth with the glory of God. So, Fatine, it's awesome to have you with us. Again, we're featuring your book today, Marked, and this is a generation of dread champions rising to shift nations. And you're doing it, and you've done it, and you're going to continue to do it.
Amen.
And so anyways, give us a little bit of the insight that God's given you concerning this emerging company, the sons of God, who are going to manifest the glory, that which creation is groaning for and waiting for. How do we get ourselves postured for that?
Well, in response to that, I have to think of Psalm 24. And in Psalm 24, we see, as far as I can tell, we see it broken down into three different sections. One is a revelation of God's awesomeness and majesty. The earth is the Lord's and everything else. We have to have an understanding of who He is. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be able to walk in the authority that we have as believers if you don't understand who's backing you up, right?
Right.
But then that scripture also goes on, or that psalm goes on, to talk about a generation that has clean hands and a pure heart, who will not lift up their soul to an idol or swear falsely or deceitfully, right? And it talks about a generation that's been purified, that's allowed themselves to be refined in the fire of God.
Right.
And then it goes on to say, lift up your heads, O ye gates, be lifted up, you everlasting door, and let the King of Glory come in. And I believe that scripture, that psalm, actually shows us the pattern. Here it is, a revelation of who God is, His awesomeness, His bigness, that the earth is His and He's coming back for it. And then secondly, a revelation that His holiness is serious. You know, and out of that place of love for Jesus, out of that place of desire to be like Him and to bring Him pleasure, that a generation rises up and says, God, if there's anything in me, you know, deal with it, take it out. But it's out of that place of revelation and then consecration that I believe the true mature sons of God will be revealed.
Right.
A generation that when they speak, gates are opened and nations are shifted.
I believe that. Fatine, do you find that there's a lot of sloppiness in the body of Christ concerning consecration levels? And consecration means to be fully set apart for God. And so that if you're in love with God, when you love the things that He loves and hate the things that He hates, and yet we see so much compromise in the body of Christ today that I believe is weakening our testimony, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, the world can't trust us because we say one thing and do another thing, but it weakens our testimony, but also weakens the display of power. So this whole issue of consecration unto God and a purified heart is absolutely vital. It's huge.
It is. And if I could share just really quickly a tidbit of my own testimony, and you'll know this, I struggled with an eating disorder for about 12 years. It was one of the worst cases of bulimia that most people who deal with this stuff would have ever seen. And I remember the night that I was delivered, and it was through a prophetic dream. And in the dream, a prophetess came to me in the dream and began to prophesy the destiny, my destiny in God. And in the dream, it was actually you. I don't know if I ever, I think I shared this with you, but it was actually you. And you began to share with me or prophesy over me who I wasn't and break off confusion. And then you began to prophesy who I was. This was all in the dream. And the power of God hit me with such intensity and power that literally, like John G. Lakes talks about the lightnings of God hitting his body, and literally the lightnings of God hit my body. I broke out of the sleep, and I was screaming. To this day, I don't know even if it was internal or if I was actually screaming. I don't know. I didn't have roommates. So, and the lightnings of God going up and down my body, and the Lord spoke to me, and He said, Fatine, tonight I have shown you your destiny. But He said this, but you have believed the lie of Esau. And He said, you've believed the lie that you could have your stew and your birthright too. And just to unpack that quickly, what He was saying is you believe the lie that you can live in sin and compromise in this area of idolatry to food, because that's what bulimia in my life was. It was like food was my comfort, whatever, you know. He said, you believe the lie that you can have this compromise and still fulfill your destiny.
Wow.
But He said to me, I love you too much. He said, if I was to release the revelation, the authority, the favor, the open doors that are part of the package of what I've called you to do. If I was to begin to release that to you now with this level of compromise in your life, he said, it would just be a matter of time and you would be destroyed. And so he said, because I love you, I'm restraining you in your destiny right now. And but he said to me, if you will deal with this consecration issue, watch what I will do. And so that was the night that it was finished for me. Wow. I walked away from the eating disorder. There was still some struggle for a couple months, but I've been totally delivered since that dream.
That's wonderful.
And it was after that that God gave me the book Stand on Guard, which is now a national bestseller in the Parliament of Canada, has literally turned the nation of Canada, like shifted things on on a large scale, opened doors for us. He gave us The Cry, which is like Canada's version of The Call. An entire movement of young adult revivalists and reformers have been raised up. But I believe personally, if I wouldn't have dealt with that consecration issue, I might still be handing out sandwiches on the streets in Vancouver, which is a great and noble thing, but it wasn't the fullness of my destiny.
And so God so loves us, and he longs for us to go with him.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting that because Esau actually despised his birthright because he chose the soup over the birthright.
Yeah.
He just threw it away, whereas Jacob longed for it. Jacob wanted the fullness of destiny that was involved in the Messiah.
Yeah.
Like he saw it and he wanted it. He wanted to be in that messianic line. He wanted it so much. So he pursued it. So when he asked Esau for it, Esau just gives it up for a bowl of soup. And as a result, God said, Jacob have I loved. And now that's nice. But then he also says the same God that said, Jacob have I loved. He said, Esau have I hated.
Yeah.
And that's been haunting me over the last few months because I've been reading through the scriptures. And we always talk about this love God. And he is a love God. Everything he does is in love. When he disciplines us,
it's in love.
When he protects us, it's because he loves us. When he provides for us, it's because he loves us. But he loves righteousness and hates wickedness. And so when he comes to judge wickedness, if we are in that wickedness, we'll get judged along with it. We'll get taken down with it because he hates wickedness because it hurts people. It destroys lives.
Yeah.
Right?
And I remember when the Lord was dealing with me personally on this, I remember saying, because I'd been in the midst of this grace movement, which was an awesome movement.
Right.
Father Heart, which I love. I got healed and delivered of so much in that movement, and I love it. And I was a little bit confused when the Lord confronted me in that dream because I said, well, God, what about your grace? And he said to me, Fatine, my grace is the grace to repent, not the grace to keep sinning.
Amen.
And he said...
Well, actually, Paul said that.
He
said, don't think that grace is going to give you license to sin. May it never be, because grace empowers you to live holy.
Totally. And that set me free. But then he also began to share. He was so loving and tender, Patricia, honestly. I love the rebuke of the Lord.
That's who he is. I do too. I love the discipline of the Lord.
It was amazing because he said, listen, he said, this is because of love. I don't want you to be destroyed. You know, because we're naive, but God's not, you know what I mean?
Right.
And he said, Fatine, this has to be dealt with. And so that's the generation I really believe, again, back to Psalm 24, this generation that understands who God is and his bigness and his goodness and his love.
And who'll say yes to him.
Yeah.
Because we have two voices to listen to. We have God's voice and we have the others.
Mm-hmm.
There's two voices. And so when God speaks, like God spoke to you and you had a decision to go with his voice or to maybe argue with him or to say, yes, but, yes, but, and maybe I'll go with this.
Scary.
So we always have a choice. We can go with God's voice, which is tender and sure, sometimes strong and clear. But there's the other voices and we can choose either. Jesus said in Mark 4, be careful what you listen to, because whatever you hear, it's going to be measured back to you accordingly. Whatever you take as your internal reality.
Wow. And when I think of these things, number one, you just have to get so full of gratitude for the Lord. You know, he is such a good father. He wants to give us the authority to shift nations.
Amen.
But he doesn't want us to be destroyed by power, right? But the second thing is just, I have to think, you know, look what the Lord has done. You know, here I went through that crucible, and this isn't to sound weird or arrogant or anything, but he has done amazing things. I have seen God respond to the consecration of a generation by busting open the doors of parliament in our nation, the highest levels of political government. We now have young people that are sitting on parliamentary committees.
It's amazing.
Writing legislation for the ending of abortion.
And they were invited to do so.
But I think back to that and think, okay, Lord, you know, thank you. Thank you for pouring out the grace to obey back then, because look what you've done since then.
Right.
And so I think my message to maybe people that are watching the show would be, if you will go low now, if you will embrace the fire now,
yes,
if you will say, God, you know, the little things and big things, because this is one thing I've noticed too, is that to God, sometimes little things are big things.
He'll always test you on the little things.
Integrity issues, honesty issues, all that stuff. And if we will continue to allow ourselves to be pruned and to be refined and just to go deeper in intimacy with the Lord through obedience, because that's one thing I've found too, is every time I die, you know, every time the Lord challenges me on something and I die a little bit more, it's like there's such a greater release of intimacy.
Amen.
But it's through that God begins to release more and more and more. And if we want to see nations shifted, it needs to start right here. It needs to start with the shifting of our own will to His will.
This is so good.
Not my will, but yours be done. That's how Jesus secured the cross.
Amen.
Father, if you could take this cup from me, then do it. But not my will, yours be done.
And that was in Gethsemane, the oil press.
Yeah.
It's where everything got crushed in order for the anointing, the power, and the authority to be released for all time. What Jesus did in that place affects everyone today and always, because he was willing to go low. He was willing to go with God's voice and not even the voice of his own desire. You know, we're living in a very sober hour. God is going to send his son soon to collect his bride. And I personally do not believe every believer is part of the company that is called the bride, because it says the bride makes herself ready, and it was given to her to be clothed with fine linen, which is the righteous acts of the saints. The Bible is full of stories that Jesus tells, and teachings that he gave, and also with Paul and Peter and John, who talk about the separating work of the Spirit of God. We read in the scripture about the difference between the wheat and the tares, between light and darkness, between truth and error, between wise virgins and foolish virgins. And God is saying to you now, he wants you to fulfill a destiny of being a dread champion, a nation shifter, a nation changer. But we must align with him. We need to say yes to his love voice. We need to say yes to his voice of truth. And if you will do that today, just like Fatine did through that dream, when God spoke to her and he said, you've got an issue that needs to be made right, and if you make it right, I'm going to release a destiny of being a nation changer and shifter. God has so much for each and every one of you. Go before him now and say, oh God, search my heart. Know me. Try me. Bring me close to you. Make me a vessel of honor for you in this hour. And then watch the empowerment that will come upon you. You are marked.
Are you called to media? XP Media's training team is available to teach you every phase of media production, from script writing to acting, editing, producing, and directing. For more information, visit xpmediatraining.com.
Visit the online store and feed your spirit with biblically based resources. Go to xpmedia.com.
What is the XP Web Church?
XP Web Church is an official congregation that connects through the internet.
Each Web Church member is assigned a web pastor, and they connect through email, telephone, and our online chat room.
Weekly personal contact, teaching, relational presentations.
Exclusive web clips and MP3s are all available to web members.
Patricia King, the XP team, youth and children's pastors, and friends of the ministry all contribute to make XP Web Church a rich spiritual experience.
XP Web Church also hosts an online chat room and social network for web members only. XP Web Church is international, 24/7, on demand. We're always here, no matter where you are in the world.
quality personal and relational pastoral care, prayer covering, as well as solid teaching on kingdom values, Bible foundations, the Holy Spirit, the glory, and the supernatural.
Join today at xpwebchurch.com.
XP Web Church, filling the earth with His glory.
When Fatine was sharing her testimony about freedom from bulimia, I felt that there were women and a man that were watching the program that said, I wish I could get free. And you're wearing so much shame and fear, and you've tried to get free, but you haven't been able to. But in the name of Jesus Christ right now, I break the power of that bondage off of you in Jesus' name. And I say to you, that is not who you are. You are a woman. You are a man of freedom, full of destiny. You have a call of the Lord upon your life to be a nation changer, a world shifter. You are called by God to step into that destiny now. You will rise. You will fight. You will stand. You will move forward into your freedom. Do it now. Listen to the voice of the Lord and move forward in confidence. The truth will make you free. The truth will keep you free.
I have a word for those of you out there that are senior citizens. So that would be sort of 70, 80, 90. And the Lord gave me a word a few years ago that He was going to mark senior citizens that would literally give the last few decades of their life and existence in this temporal realm to see things reformed. And so I just want to pray a blessing over you. And Father, I just thank you for the senior citizens that you're raising up in this hour that have nothing to lose and so much to gain, Father, that you are going to give them assignments, you are going to give them understanding, Father, and that many of you that are watching that have a desire to really make a mark in your final years, the Lord says, if you want it, you've got it. Just begin to rise up into it and watch what I do. So God bless you. Your greatest years are still to come.
I've enjoyed just discussing the goodness of God and His call unto separation, that we might be that marked generation manifesting the power and the glory of God in the earth for the glory of His name. Rise up afresh today and move forward in the fullness of all God has for you. And remember this, God loves you with an everlasting love. He really, really does. We'll see you next time.